Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey y'all, if you like Sex with Simmery, then you should totally check out Burlesque Toy Shop. Explore the fine line between pleasure and play and power and submission with Burlesque Toy Shop's A Little Kink collection. Our sex and mischief bed bondage restraints are the perfect foray into the world of dominance and submission. Turn your bed into a bondage playground with this accessibly priced kit for only $29.99. No bedpost required. Watch your lover surrender, bound by four soft but secure Velcro cuffs attached to adjustable straps. An additional connecting strip ensures that the bed bondage restraints will fit any size bed. At Burlesque Toy Shop, we encourage you to test your boundaries safely and live out your fantasies fully. Burlesque Toy Shop provides an expertly curated collection of pleasure toys and burlesque-inspired lingerie for the discerning lady and gentleman. With 100% body-safe products, elegantly designed toys, and glycerin and paraben-free lubes, Burlesque is the toy shop you wish you had next door, but instead, it's online. Use the code TIMAREE, T-I-M-A-R-E-E, for 20% off your total purchase. So again, use the code TIMAREE, T-I-M-A-R-E-E, when you visit burlesquetoyshop.com. And Burlesque Toy Shop is social, so follow on Twitter at Burlesque Toys for sexy news, hot tips, giveaways, and even better discounts. Help them out for helping us out. Welcome to Sex with Timmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I'm very excited to talk to our guest today. This is Chris Alec. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yay. So you are a creative developer and you're like super involved in like sex and technology. I'm really excited to see the names of like all the things that you do. Like we're going to talk about Club Sexy Time. We're going to talk about specifically the app that you developed that people just went bananas for. Let's just start it off. So what is your deal? What are you about? What are you into?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm a creative developer. I have a degree in computer science and math, but I sort of moved into advertising to try and do more creative work and ultimately went to graduate school in New York at ITP, which is it's an interactive telecommunications programming course. It's usually for artists who want to be more engaged with technology and people like myself who are more technology-oriented who want to move into the art space. And, you know, when I was there, I did a lot of stuff with assistive technology, helping people with disabilities, sort of trying to amplify our body and senses and looking at how technology can augment and amplify our physical beings. And there's a lot of body sort of like dirty humor that goes on there with technology. And so like teledildonics, for example, is a big thing from ITP. You know, I work at an ad agency with Pablo, and we started a group called Club Sexy Time, which was about sort of sexy situations, technology, how people use technology, you know, questioning the values of technology, and then also just wanting to make people laugh and have fun and be more open about their sexuality and questioning it. So, yeah, that's kind of where I am at now.
I'm very curious about the origins of Club Sexy Time. Like, I'm just very excited about Club Sexy Time. And I'm going to say Club Sexy Time multiple occasions.
Please do. Club Sexy Time was a club that I started when I first moved to New York because I was having a hard time meeting people at all, just let alone getting dates. And my friend and I were like, let's start a club called Club Sexy Time, which is a group of people who advocate on the behalf of other people to get them sexy times. So it was basically just like you're at a bar and you're like, oh, this guy is so nice. You should meet him and talk to him. And it was just kind of a goof. When I started working at Goodby Silverstein Partners in San Francisco, I showed Pablo clubsexytime.com. He's like, oh my God, I love that name. He started doing some design work for it. We started putting up the work we did together. And so it sort of shifted into his and I's like creative space on the internet to just kind of make things we want. A lot of the time we make stuff for the internet or we make stuff for our friends or our work. And it's just sort of, there's just nowhere to put it, but we want to share it with our friends. So we put it up there and, yeah, that's pretty much it. We're thinking about doing some T-shirts we really like some of the work that other artists have done with net art and stuff like that, and making apparel. So we're thinking about that stuff.
Cool. Well, the thing that brought you to a lot of people's attention and put you on the radar was the Lick This app. So yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what that's all about?
Yeah, we were at Goodby Silver Scene and Partners in San Francisco. We were working on a brand who wanted to make interactive digital stuff for a whole year, one a week, 52 ideas. And they said, you know, do whatever you want. The weirder, the better. We just want it to be really fun and engaging. We're like, great, that sounds like our bread and butter. So we were drunk one day at work, and I was trying to design a game where you had to hold the phone like against your face so you couldn't see the screen, but you still could play the game. And I realized that my nose could control the screen because it's conductive. And the way that the touch screen works on most devices is that it basically regrounds the screen through the electrical signal in your body. And so anything will work on your body, your tongue, your dick, your nose. And so we're like, okay, great. This is perfect. Let's make a game called the Lick Olympics for the Sochi Olympics that are coming up. And it's going to be like training your tongue to make you like an Olympic tongue athlete. Mm-hmm. And then the brand was like, that's the most disgusting thing we've ever heard. So we're like, okay, fuck you guys. And then we were at work one day on a Friday. We're like, oh, let's make that idea. And then Pablo was like, yeah, but let's make it dirtier and let's make it about oral sex. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't know. I don't know if my mom's going to like that, but we did it anyways. And then, yeah, we just made it in like 8 hours one night. And then we put it on the internet for Valentine's Day. We thought that was kind of relevant. And then, yeah, some people really liked it. It was pretty funny. We did not expect it to be very popular. A lot of our projects just sort of go nowhere. So it was nice that people liked it.
So when you're designing this, so if somebody, are they going to learn to get better, or is it like an assessment of your current tongue skills? Like,
I think that originally, like the sort of conceptual thinking behind the app was that it was a different way to interact with your phone, and that people, it's kind of gross, but also like there is a weird intimacy with the object when you do that. It's definitely probably not going to make you better at oral sex. That's definitely more about communication and, being comfortable with yourself and, practice and just getting in there, but what we do hope, and we very much were earnest, sincere about this, was that it'll hopefully maybe get you to talk about it with your partner if you think it's funny, or it's like maybe it makes it more comfortable. I think that especially in America, people are so I'm sure you talk about this a lot with other people on your show, that people in America, they're very like, they need an excuse to talk about their bodies, they need an excuse to talk about sex. They can't just do it without getting kind of like sent back to kindergarten immediately and start giggling. So we thought that this was a sort of fun adult way into that conversation. I don't know how successful it was in that sense, but people seem to really like it. And we've gotten a lot of feedback from other groups, specifically groups that do technology and sex related projects. And they were like, oh, this is great. This is really fun. And so that's really nice to hear that.
And so when you conceptualize, this for being about oral sex, like, I have very specific questions then. Is this, okay. Seems like it's only going to be applicable to, like, cunnilingus and then, maybe analingus, but, like, will this have anything to do, like, how much of a blowjob is something that you can do with your phone? Are you going to, like, put the whole thing in your mouth? Like, I have so many questions.
I know. We tried. I actually spent after we made this app, so we were specifically thinking about this, like tongues on vaginas for boys and girls, but we were like, oh, I wonder if we could make one for dicks. And then I tried to figure out a way to detect how deep the phone was going into your mouth. And I'm close. I like kind of have it working, but it wasn't good enough. And also you can't see your phone. It doesn't, for some reason, I think the interaction design just works better this way. But, I'm open to it. I think that I work on a lot of projects. This definitely like was just a side thing that we did. But I think if someone was really like, no, this is important. And I think it's fun the way it is now. I don't know. It doesn't have to go that much farther.
Fair enough. And there's also like the question that I have to ask, which is, about in terms of like safety, like, are you suggesting people put a condom over the phone, or is that going to stop the conductivity? Like,
no, so the phone is fully conductive with a piece of saran wrap over the phone. It doesn't interrupt the connection. So in our instructions in the app, we're like, oh, put a piece of saran wrap over your phone before you do it, because it is totally gross to lick your phone. You should not lick your phone. You shouldn't put your phone in your mouth. It's totally gross. So, but the idea was like, it's just like a dental dam. There shouldn't be any sort of, you know, that should be fine. But yeah, I would hope that people put something over their phone.
I would hope so. Although, I mean, it's just like there's this really interesting fact that, like, first of all, the reason it's so gross is because people are like attached to their phones. They have a more significant relationship with their phone than with any other person. Like, how many other people do you spend that much time with? And like, if you didn't know where they were, you would really get that panicked. Like,
right. So. I just saw, it's funny that you say that. I think that's a really interesting, really deep, actually deep topic that's kind of over my head a little bit. I mean, I have some experience with like phantom rings where you think your phone is ringing because that vibration gives you an endorphins rush. But I just saw a talk, and I would encourage people that are interested in this. I just saw a talk by a woman, Sherry Turkle, who is a psychologist at MIT, and she talked about this idea that the way we use our phones, it remaps the way our brains look for stimulation to be constantly on, constantly switching, turning us into multitasking brains where we're always looking for a new quick thing to look at and then we want to go to something else. And it's a positive feedback loop in the sense that the more you do it, the more your brain wants it, the more you do it because your phone is always there. And I think it's really interesting. I definitely am totally connected to my phone all the time. I have it right here. I don't think it inhibits my relationship with other people, but that is another topic that Sherry Turkle discusses. And I think that I do think it's a real thing. I'm a little bit more of a cyberpunk in the sense that I don't see a huge disconnect between real life and virtual life. I think there's a blend there that's kind of like on the spectrum of the way we're starting to view like gender and sexuality. But, yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's weird how connected we are with our phones, the kind of relationship we have with our phones, the kind of intimacy we can achieve with people through via our phones, and how it can sort of break down barriers, you know, kind of like Tinder or things like that, where you're like, oh, it's really easy for me to just like be a different person or be myself the way I want to be with someone virtually. The Lick This app doesn't really comment on any of those things, but I mean, these are big topics. They're really interesting to me.
And there's also this sort of dichotomous way that it either like, you can use technology to interact with other people, which I think is what a lot of like, this is going to sound like it's going to sound, but like what baby boomers get wrong about millennials. They think that like they're antisocial because they're not present, but they're attending to what they find more interesting, which is that their friends are in their phone. Their friends are not physically in front of them.
That's absolutely correct. I think that when you're just because you're looking at your phone doesn't mean you're not talking to someone and connecting with them in a way that you find valuable. And, you know, I wish I knew more about the science behind it because I firmly believe, at least from my experience, that you can get just as much pleasure out of communicating through a virtual through a device or through the internet than you can one-to-one with people, and sometimes more. Whether or not that's a good or bad thing, I don't know. But, you know, Pablo and I made another app called Touch Room where two people turn the app on their phones from different locations, and you can see where the person is touching their phone. So that's like literally all it is. You move your finger around, you can see where their finger is. And when your two fingers touch in the exact same place, your phones vibrate.
Aww.
And it's really creepy because it's a super visceral feeling. You do feel like you're touching them. And that whole app was a commentary on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and things like this that don't deliver the actual intimacy that we want from these social networks. They're kind of like a false claim on creating deeper connections, where this simple app where all you do is feel the vibration of someone else, actually you feel very connected to them. So we're exploring that space. I think it's really interesting. I don't know a ton about it from like an academic standpoint though.
That's fine. That was super interesting. and I'm also always compelled to think about the folks who use technology, of course, to distance, like, because it enables you to, participate at like the lowest possible level of like commitment.
Right.
So, I mean, on like one end of the spectrum, you can talk about how like a real doll, right? So you have like $7,000 to spend and you decide you're going to make yourself a girlfriend that will never talk back. And so you invest so much money, so much more than most people would spend on an actual girlfriend in the course of a year for an object. That will allow you to never have to speak to another human female if you don't feel like it. And so tech like seems to go one way or the other. It's either like enabling people who are not physically in the same space to feel like they are, or else make everybody else never have to come into your house. You never have to answer the phone. You never have to like actually see another person again.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's pretty much the two options. It's funny that the Real Dolls thing, I saw the documentary about the different people that owned them, and on one level I was like, oh, it's really easy to stigmatize that. But I guess on the other hand, it's like, well, okay, you're probably just like gonna jack off or masturbate or whatever here and there, or maybe go try and have a date. I mean, you're basically trying to achieve something, either it's pleasure or intimacy with someone else. But if you just want to hump something and you're spending time and energy trying to meet other people and it's not working out, then I don't see why that $7,000 isn't like a very wise investment to just hump that thing and then go and, you know, not worry about that and seek deeper intimacy other places and not worry about that physical aspect of it that you might not be getting. I don't know. Maybe that's a really ignorant opinion, but
I don't know. I think that's a thought provoking commentary on it. Cause I don't think I'd certainly never thought of it that way. Like for a lot of women that I've spoken to, they're just all that they can think of is like the reason you picked that as opposed to like a fleshlight. You know, sort of implies sort of the buyer's perspective on women in general.
Oh, well, okay. Well, absolutely. I mean, certainly I don't, I mean, well, I mean, I can't speak in general. I can make a generalization. I would imagine that, you know, the first time you masturbate, the first few times you masturbate, it's really interesting. It's really exciting. It's new. It's fresh. And eventually you do things like watch pornography or you do it. It's still self-pleasure. You're trying to just escalate the levels of self-pleasure and keep yourself interested. And so I feel like if you're not strictly trying to replace someone with this real doll, what you're trying to do is just find the most realistic simulation, and when I say realistic, I guess I mean I should say the most stimulating or the most fantastical. So in a way, it's not a projection of what they want from a person, it's what they think will provide the most excitement in a self-stimulating scenario. So,
okay. So you're just spicing up your relationship with yourself?
I would like to think so. I mean, I'm sure there's people that are just like straight up like, oh no, this is okay for me. Like, I don't need to go meet anyone ever again. But I don't know. Maybe not. I think the fleshlight is like, I guess if that's what you want, that's what you want. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. Like, if we just, you know, we're handing out real dolls. Like, if they were just like really cheap to produce, like, and like, how many people would be like, oh yeah, just for the novelty, for no other reason. Like, I'm gonna totally make her wear weird hats, and she's gonna be in the living room all the time. And
oh no, I think that if you handed them out and it wasn't and people didn't feel embarrassed to take one, they wouldn't. I don't think they would treat it like I don't think they would prop it in a relationship style thing where they're like, oh, it's in the living room and it's watching TV with me. I think they would just be like, I think it would be in a cardboard box under their bed.
Huh. Interesting. Maybe I don't know. It's because like, there's so like, I'm immediately thinking of like houses that I lived in where we had like mascot things that like we would dress up according to season. Like I had a probably about life size in height anyway. It was a cardboard cutout of Angelina Jolie as the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And then we would dress her up according to the holiday. So she would wear, like, you know, a slutty little Santa costume when it was, like, December. Or just, you know, kind of decorate her a little bit like a tree. You know, because she was part of our house. And, you know, it's not like she had a spot, you know, that, you can't sit there. That's Angelina's spot. It's not like that. It was just, like, you know. And I see a lot of application for any sex toy can really be part of your family in that way. And okay. I'm also curious about like whatever happened. I don't know if you remember the cone. If you remember when that came out.
What's the cone? Is that like a wedge? Like for girls?
Kind of. It's like, so the idea is sort of like a traffic cone, but much shorter and wider. And it was a sex toy that came out in probably like 2003, 2004. And it got really, really popular. 2005, 2006. And it took 3D batteries, and it had 16 different settings, and it takes up a fair amount of room. It's not as big as like a Sibian per se, but it's, you know, it's like the size of like a pumpkin.
Okay. And
so there was like this ongoing discussion among the type of people that I run with about like whether you leave your cone out because it looks just slightly innocuous enough that it could just be like a piece of art, or whether you like hide it away. So I don't know.
I think that's totally how comfortable you are with yourself. If I was a cone user, I definitely would put that away. That's not that doesn't go next to the Eames lounge chair.
Okay. But I mean, okay, so you don't have it out on display yet. I mean, technically the stuff that you're doing, the way that you represent yourself to the people who don't actually know you, has mm-hmm. to do with this sort of sex and tech stuff. So like what is your relationship with people in terms of expressing yourself as like a sexual being then? Like
Well, I definitely don't. I mean, I'm certainly not. I would not discuss like sex and. So I have a lot of friends who do like burlesque stuff, or they're sex workers, different, and that's like part of their identity. It's not part of my day to day identity. It's something I'm really curious about, because I think that I'm always looking for different things that elicit creativity and make you think differently about technology and. Often the body and technology is one thing that creates, at least for me, good ideas. Mm-hmm. But I would say I'm pretty like normcore. Okay. I heard that's a trend. That's a
norm
trend right
core.
Now.
I like it.
I'm pretty boring. I think I would say I'm very average.
Okay. All right. Well, because you mentioned the thing about like, I don't know how my mom would feel about that. So how does she feel about all this stuff?
She doesn't love the app. She likes that I'm, I think, finding something that I can have an opinion about and express myself creatively with. And she likes that people like the work I do. And I think as long as I'm not disturbing other people, as long as I'm not getting in the way of other people's happiness and preventing them from being happy, she doesn't care that much, I'd say.
All right.
We recently had a talk about how many people I had slept with, and she was not happy with that.
Oh. How
so
did
she
that
might be
come
on the
up?
Pruder side.
You just sit around with your mom talking numbers? Like, how did that...
It came up. It was funny. We had some white wine, and it was... It came up in a conversation.
So getting back to like club sexy time and the other work that we keep talking about Pablo, but we haven't really talked to who Pablo is. Like, can you
Pablo's
introduce people to
man.
Pablo?
Pablo's a great guy. Pablo is a friend of mine that I met when I was in grad school. He's a little bit younger than I am. He... helped me on a graduate school project I was doing, and we bumped back into each other in San Francisco, and he works at Gubby Silverstein now, still as a art director, and I just moved to New York a month ago, so we're not together at the moment. It's very sad, but aww. He is a really interesting guy. He went to art school and studied painting and graphic design, and he has always wanted to be a painter. He's a really amazing painter, and he went to Microsoft after college and worked on a number of things and was asked to submit some design work to some logos for some Microsoft product, and actually ended up designing the Microsoft Word logo and the Excel spreadsheet logo. So if you used Microsoft Office, those are Pablo's designs. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's just really interested in, he's an artist, and he's decided that the internet is a place for him to make work, and he wants people, he likes people like Salvador Dali, Andy Warhol, Basquiat, Manet, basically people that were sort of revolutionaries in their sense of how they shocked people, and that's what he wants to do with his work. So a lot, I try and let that come out in the work we do as much as possible. I try to get out of his way so he can be as weird and creepy as he wants. And I try and make sure it's my part of the creative work is to make sure that it's accessible to everyone, that it's the idea is digestible, so that we can have shocking perspectives that still are relatable, I guess is what I would say. So yeah, that's Pablo.
He's here in spirit.
Yeah.
So what other stuff do you have coming up, or other cool things people should check out that Club Sexy Time has done, is doing?
Oh man, I don't know. Well, okay, we have one really big project. Pablo and I have been working on it for a while now. It's coming out and I'd say like within the next month, and I can't talk too much about it, but basically it is a app that looks at bodily functions and food and nutrition and things like that. We're really excited about it. It's slightly more kid-oriented and education-oriented, so I'll email you a link with that.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I think that, I just moved to New York, so I'm like we don't have a big project at the moment.
How can people find out more about you? If people have questions, how can they contact you? Or do you just want them to go away? Like,
no,
where can they find out more?
You can go to chrisalek.com. My phone number is on that website.
Oh, wow.
you can email me or go to clubsextime.com. You can email Pablo as well through that website. Bring it on. We love hearing about people. I love chatting on Twitter, so...
And is the Lick This app still available, or was that
absolutely,
just a special
Absolutely.
Time?
You can go to Lick This app on your mobile device, and it's just a mobile website. It's not a native app, so anyone can use it on their mobile phone.
That's awesome. And remember to use Saran Wrap.
Please do. Wrap it up.
Yeah. So thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Good, good. Not too boring, I hope.
No. You're pretty all right.
Thank you so much to
Chris today and Pablo, who's here in spirit. And thank you all for listening, and have a great day. We here at Sex with Timmery are all about making your life, your sex life, your relationships the best they can possibly be. And one way we can help you is actually finding like-minded folks or someone who's interesting to you or wants to do similar things that you want to do. So one option, forget Tinder and just moving to the right over and over again, you can place a personals ad on the Sex with Timmery podcast and reach tens of thousands of sex positive, smart, interesting people around the world, and for a very low price, $20. So if you are interested in posting a personal ad, you can either send us your audio or you can send the text and I can read it for you if you're a little bit scared. We can also talk you through the recording process if you want to do it that way. So if you have any questions or you're interested in posting a personal ad on Sex with Timmery podcast, email me sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. Hey y'all, if you like Sex with Timmery, then you should totally check out Burlesque Toy Shop. Explore the fine line between pleasure and play and power and submission with Burlesque Toy Shop's A Little Kink collection. Our sex and mischief bed bondage restraints are the perfect foray into the world of dominance and submission. Turn your bed into a bondage playground with this accessibly priced kit for only $29.99. No bedpost required. Watch your lover surrender, bound by four soft but secure Velcro cuffs attached to adjustable straps. An additional connecting strip ensures that the bed bondage restraints will fit any size bed. At Burlesque Toy Shop, we encourage you to test your boundaries safely and live out your fantasies fully. Burlesque Toy Shop provides an expertly curated collection of pleasure toys and burlesque-inspired lingerie for the discerning lady and gentleman. With 100% body-safe products, elegantly designed toys, and glycerin and paraben-free lubes, Burlesque is the toy shop you wish you had next door, but instead, it's online. Use the code TIMARE, T-I-M-A-R-E-E, for 20% off your total purchase. So again, use the code TIMARE, T-I-M-A-R-E-E, when you visit burlesquetoyshop.com. And Burlesque Toy Shop is social, so follow on Twitter at Burlesque Toys for sexy news, hot tips, giveaways, and even better discounts. Help them out for helping us out. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.
Hello, podcast fans. Adam Carolla here. I'm leading the fight against patent trolls who are threatening this medium. It's not about me. It's about the podcast you're listening to right now. If I go down, this show could be next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll for more information on how you can keep podcasting alive. Thank you and mahalo.